Yes, so there are various characters in the kitchen. It's kind of like someone's in the kitchen with Dinah. Remember that old song? Someone's in the kitchen, I know. Okay. But that's an old song. Some of you younger kids, you're like, what the heck is he talking about? Now, the rest, I can see the ones grinning. Everybody else that's as old as me or older, they're grinning because they remember that song. Also, starting next Wednesday, say Wednesday. We are going to make it easier for you and your family to get to church. We are going to have a meal ready for you. It's going to be like hot dogs, chili dogs, pizza, whatever. I don't know what's on the menu next week, but 5:30 to 6:30. If you want a meal, it's just for a love offering. If you want to give something, great, but we believe God will meet the need. But we're going to have something here for you. 5:30, say 5:30 to 6:30. And I'll tell you, just thank our meals ministry. We have a new meals ministry that, boy, they're just so... It'll make it easy if you want to bring somebody, come and you can get something to eat before service. And we're just asking that you eat it before you. Don't come in here eating your dinner. And if you want to help, see Chrissy. Chrissy, wave your hand. If you want to help with that, get involved in the meals ministry, you can see her. Also, I got a lot of announcements, I know, but I wanted to get through these. We have baptisms coming up on Wednesday, May the 7th. If you have not been water baptized since you believed in Christ, or maybe you believed in Christ and you weren't serving him and you had a transformation, a revelation of who he is and your world got rocked, I recommend you get baptized, all right? Our baptism service are awesome. We put a big old, we call it the hot tub time machine, because your past is gone and your future begins. And so we put up it's hot enough, all right. And so it's a warm tub time machine, all right. Okay, lukewarm tub time machine, but it's not cold. It is not cold. Now we want people to sign up. What are you doing? All right, don't listen to her. But sign up. It really would be great. We pray over people. We speak into people's lives. It's awesome. So sign up for it. May the 7th, or Wednesday coming up here in a couple of next month. Okay. Also, Easter Sunday is 1 week from this Sunday, and we've got cards that the ushers are going to hand out to you when you leave. Invite someone to church. We've got a presentation for Easter Sunday. Easter is an easy time to invite someone to church, okay? Because in this country, still most people think of Easter, and even though they may think of goofing around with eggs and the Easter bunny and stuff like that, most people still think of Jesus Christ. And it may not be like that for a whole lot longer, I don't know, but people still do. And so it's an easy way to invite someone to church, and so take advantage of that. Okay, there's all the commercials. All right. Well, tonight we're starting a new series that I know you are going to love, because Trish is probably going to help me with part of this. She usually does. Once a year, we like to teach something just on life. Just life, applying what the Bible says to life in general. Now, we have a marriage, return to intimacy, marriage class, 8-week class that we just started. We had our second one Monday night. We've got about 40 people or so that are in that. And so we're really focusing on marriage. We'll probably touch on marriage a little bit in this, but it's really looking at how do I live out my Christianity at home? How do I live out my Christianity in the workplace? How do I live out my Christianity at school, in the marketplace, whatever? And we titled this Real Life because, listen, where the rubber hits the road, we can go to church and we can even have a prayer life, but if we don't allow Holy Spirit to use us in a way that starts to transform who we are, then we are missing out in what God wants to do in our lives. I mean, we're in a time where I thank God it's becoming so popular to talk about the grace of God and preach the grace of God. And that's nothing new, I mean, but there's been a new stirring in the body of Christ about the grace of God. And we're not saved by works. But if we don't allow God to start to work on the inside of us the way that only He can, then we're not really benefiting as much as we can from grace and the Holy Spirit in our lives, who wants to transform us. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? God wants to change you. You cannot change yourself, but Holy Spirit can change you, and you and I can live in a way that brings honor to God, that brings honor to other people, and helps people really see a clear path to the kingdom of heaven. Titus chapter 2, it says this, "But as for you, say me, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." Now, of course, he's speaking to Titus, a pastor. But as I teach this to you, I want us all to take this personal and realize God wants us to understand sound doctrine. Doctrine just means the way of the master, the way of the teacher, doctor, if you will. So really, I believe that you and I, as born-again Christians, should look at allowing God to grow us, look at the Word of God, our relationship through Jesus Christ, as a way as we're getting our doctorate in Christianity. All right? We are getting our we are getting an education. And it's not enough to just pray a prayer and say, well, that's it, I'm saved, it's all over from here. No, you and I should continue to grow in wisdom, in knowledge, in understanding, in love, in grace, all those things that we'll talk about. And the thing is, we should ask ourselves some questions. Does my life promote Christ? Does my life promote Christ? And if it's going to promote Christ, then there would be another question we'd have to ask. Is my life led by the Holy Spirit? Because if our life is not led by the Holy Spirit, then we're promoting religion. We're promoting our own good works. Because Christianity is not about being a good person. That is just not what it is. And so if we're not being led by the Holy Spirit, then we're just being a good person. And there is nothing wrong with being a good person. How many know that? You're better to be a good person than a nasty person. Come on, lighten up in here. Somebody laugh. All right? But for you and I to really have a life that promotes Christ, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. That means we are listening to the Holy Spirit. And as we already said before we took our tithe and offering, our ways are not God's ways. Most of the time, we're going to think the opposite of God. Most of the time. Verse 2, he says, the older men should be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. Now, as we go through these verses in the book of Titus, it's really the kind of thing you see is it writes first to older men, and then it writes to women, and then it writes to younger men, and then it writes to younger women. And as we go through this, you'll see that theme. But really what he's doing is kind of collective, saying, okay, do all these things we just said here, but do this also. And so all these things apply, whether you're a young man or an old man or a young woman or a not-so-young woman. I am so nice tonight, right? All right? And all of you not-so-young women said, we love you, Pastor Tony. But he says here that we should be sober. And, of course, that can mean to abstain from heavy drinking, which the Bible says we should not be drunks, okay? You know, we've said before, I mean, if you like to have a glass of wine or a beer or whatever and you can drink responsibly, really that's between you and the Lord. Now, if you're around people who have a problem with that, that's something you may not want to do. The Bible tells us to do that, all right? We're not going to teach a lot on that tonight. But what I want to really look at is beyond the sober part that we normally think of, it literally means to watch. You and I should be watchers. It means to really be ready for Christ to use us at any given time. It's kind of like a soldier that's on ready. It's kind of like someone who's, you know, a police officer, someone who's in the military. They may be off duty, but they're not off duty. That's just the truth of it. You're off duty, but you are always ready to get that call, all right? Someone's in the National Guard. They're not serving overseas or maybe in active combat, but they're ready to get that call. Does that make sense to you? That's the best way I can describe it, is we should be living a life where we're saying, you know, it's important the way I live, all right? Again, we're not talking about do this, don't do that. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about my works. I'm talking about saying, Lord, today I am yours. And doing this every day. I'm yours today. I'm going to live a sober life. I'm watching for you to see what you're doing today so that you can use me in the world that I touch. Does that make sense to you? And if we're going to live successful lives, we have to have that attitude. If we're just like, well, you know what? That's it, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, praise the Lord, and that's good. But if we don't realize that we have a responsibility, we could be a Christian for years and years and years, and we need our diaper changed. Hello? This is the truth. And there's only one thing worse than changing a diaper on a baby, and that's changing a diaper on an adult. All right. Let me just put it this way. Am I concerned with the things of the kingdom first? Am I living a life where I am concerned about the kingdom, promoting the kingdom, growing, living for the kingdom? Am I watching? Am I listening? Am I living for Father God? He says to be reverent, to be temperate. Really, it means to be self-controlled or to be safe or to be healthy in our lifestyle. Again, when you look at these words, he's saying, really, you and I should be living with the understanding that I am not my own. I was bought with a price, therefore I'm going to glorify God in my body, or rather allowing him to glorify himself through me because the Holy Spirit is working in me. And if we don't make that conscious decision, because I've seen it, and you probably have. If you walk with Christ any number of years, you've seen somebody that has been a Christian for 10, 15, 20 years, 5 years, I don't know, whatever, 30 years, and you think, well, they couldn't find a scripture. They don't have anything they believe God for. And they're exactly like anyone else who doesn't know Christ. And if you and I are going to live a successful Christian life, we have got to make it a purpose of ours that we are going to live differently. Again, not don't drink, don't chew, don't smoke. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, yes, sir, I am yours. What do you want to do? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Okay, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. But I have to be ready for him to use me at any time.
We have this kind of inside joke with some of my kids and people close to me, but I don't like to say the word P-O-O-P.
Poop.
But he's, you know, everybody's gotta, and, you know, but we're human, we're flesh. There is a point to my silliness here. You know, we are supposed to be the fragrance of Christ everywhere we go. And again, like Pastor was saying, it's not about works. It's not about being perfect, because I'll be the first to say I fail every day. Probably every second of every day, I fail. I do something wrong. I say something wrong. I act wrong. I need Jesus. I just need him. I was telling him that all day long. From the time I get up in the morning, I'm like, Jesus, help me. Because I am P-O-O-P.
Poop.
You know, but all but again, fragrance of Christ. You know, so all that to say, you know, what is your fragrance when you're...
Poop.
When you're...
I like my part. I got a good part tonight.
I'll let him say it. I have said it. I can say it. I just don't like to. But what... oh, Lord. We've all been around those kind of people, you know, that we like to be around because they smell great, you know, and not about the perfume and the soap. And
she smells awesome.
But it's about what, it's about what's inside of us. It's Jesus. It's not about, oh, I messed up and I said a word I shouldn't have said or whatever. It's about the fragrance inside of us. And we don't want to be poopy Christians. There, I said it.
That's
we
right.
Don't want to stink.
I mean, the bottom line is we need to initiate the change. God will not whip us into shape. It doesn't work like that, okay? It just doesn't work like that. How do I initiate change? Okay, Lord, I'm yours. I'm here. We get in the habit of reading the Word. And we've talked about that. Let the Word wash over you like water. The Bible calls the Word, it likens it to water, washing over us, meditating on a scripture, a series of scriptures, learning. By the way, we're doing some different things on Facebook and Twitter. We put something up called Roots. How many have seen a couple of those? If you, we're starting to do that, and many of you are getting recorded. It's not just going to be me or Pastor Bob or Trish. We've just had a couple up now. But you can help us not only listen to those, but it'll help inspire you. But we want to inspire people that maybe don't get inside the doors of the church. And so if you're on Facebook and you see Roots or something, anything we post, Resurrection Life Church or whatever, if you just hit share on your Facebook, it'll go to all your friends that maybe don't know us. And so hit share. Get in the habit of hitting share. Say share. Share. It's an easy way to share Christ. I mean, it really is. But really.
And Facebook and Twitter, it is ministry.
It is. It can
it is.
Be.
And the people you reach.
I mean, you might as well use it for good. I mean, so many people, nobody in this room, but.
Right.
Nobody in this room. Okay. I'm just putting poopy stuff on there. I'm serious. I mean, you know, why not share Christ? We got enough. Oh, I'm having a rotten day. Grr. Well, that just edified nobody. All right.
Please don't tell us, you know, that you've been throwing up all night and the kids are.
I know. I mean, if you need prayer,
just say,
message
pray
somebody.
For me.
Say, pray for me. Send someone a message.
Yes.
I mean, we need to be different. Okay, we need to let our light shine. Okay, all right. But we have to initiate the change. And asking God to work in our life and believe that he's going to do it. Again, say, Lord, today I thank you that you're working in me. That is a great way to pray, to will and do your pleasure. That God, you're working in me today. And just surrender to him. Am I growing in love? Am I growing in patience?
He has to be patient when I'm up here. He is growing. You know, the Bible says that a righteous man may fall 7 times, but we get back up in the Lord. And for me, you know, I can fall 7 times in less than a minute, you know. But he's always picking us up. He's always helping us. And, you know, it's growing in him. It says that, you know, his mercies are new every morning. It doesn't matter what we've done. His mercy, his grace is available. His blood has covered that. We can walk around and be all bummed out about what we did, what we said, what we messed up, and, you know, then I would be probably the biggest crab around. But seriously, his mercies are new every morning. If we get that, we can walk around, yeah, I just messed up huge right there. Did you see it? You probably all saw it. But he still loves me. Amen. And that's what it's about. When people see that, even though we've stumbled and fallen and make mistakes, we're still loving the Lord. We're showing his love. It's available. It's real.
I wrote down a couple things here, and this is what really helps. Ask yourself, are my relationships healthy, or am I just busy with people? Are my relationships healthy, or am I just busy with people? Healthy means, you know, you're in a healthy relationship. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. In a healthy relationship, and then I'm not saying we don't reach out to those who are not Christians, those who need Christ. We need to reach out to them. But our primary base of friends should be people that complement us, that help us to sharpen one another. And that can be challenging. It can be compassion. It can be all those different things. But are my relationships helping me to live a healthy Christian life? That's why I encourage you, get involved in a relate group. We have these married couples that are coming to this thing on Monday nights. Come to church. Take notes. You know, watch the roots things we're putting on. Share them with other people. Maybe talk about it with somebody. Using all those things to help us grow. And then I wrote this down, and this just made a lot of sense to me. I hope it helps you. I ask myself this question when I read this. Am I letting God recreate my attitude on life, or am I just on repeat? Am I letting God recreate my attitude on life, or am I just on repeat? Am I just being played over and over and over and over, all right? Or am I allowing God to change my attitude? You say, well, how do you do that? You ask him to do it. Say, today, Lord, don't put it on Facebook, like we said. But say, today, Lord, I mean, take it to Facebook. Go talk to God. You know, click on his site and say, Lord, today I have a crappy attitude and I smell like poop. Help me. Help me today, Lord, that I can be your fragrance. In Jesus' name, amen. And so now you pray that, and throughout the day when you're like poop sometimes, you remember, you know what? God loves me because I'm saved by grace, but he's working in me, and so I know he's going to help me. And today, and if we continue to pray and have communion with him throughout the day, listen, your life is going to be different. You're going to live differently. Verse 3 in Titus 2, he says this, that the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And reverent behavior literally means appointed for good conduct. Appointed for good conduct. The same kind of thing you're seeing here. I am appointed for good conduct. Again, this is not only for the older women. It's for men. It's for young men. It's for young women. That we are appointed to good conduct. Doesn't mean that I'm working my own works of righteousness, but I'm appointed. God wants to bear fruit in my life. Jesus said this in John 15, that if we would abide in him and his word abides in us, that he would start to prune us so that we could bear fruit. And he says that if you're bearing fruit, he prunes you so that you can bear more fruit. But if you're not bearing fruit, then you're cut off, is what the Bible says. And so sometimes we can go through dry periods. Sometimes we can go through the valley. But we get back in and we say, Lord, start to prune me. Start to help me to bear fruit in my life. Go ahead.
I want to say something about that because it is so important that we are an example, because people are looking to us, no matter how much younger, older in the Lord or age, people are looking to us. And for me, it was a sad thing growing up. I knew the church lady example where, you know, you're just all proper and you sit just right and you just dress just right and you talk just right. And I'm like, I don't fit in that. I've never fit in that. And I had a great example of Christianity in my grandparents when I was very, very young. But then I went through a huge gap from probably third grade up until, Lord, after high school. But I remember my grandparents had this real relationship. It wasn't about going to church. It wasn't about being proper and doing everything right, because they had their issues. But they had a relationship with this God that I wanted to know who this God was and Jesus and make him real in my life. So then in grade school, probably for about 3-4 years. I went to a Christian grade school. I begged my mom and my stepdad at that time. I wanted that because I wanted what my grandparents had. But the sad thing was, I was surrounded by religion, by, you know, if you didn't go to church, you weren't a good Christian. I came from a divorced home that was judged. There was a lot of things going on. So for me, it's sad to say that religion can be so, it's what nailed Christ to the cross. You know, it's religion, it's works, it's doing everything right. And then up until I graduated from high school, and to make a long story short, I'm just saying we need to be that example, because for me, it's sad to say that I went that many years, who shared Christ with me? Who showed me about this God? No one. There was no one other than you came from a divorced home. You say, oh, my goodness, oh, my gosh, oh, my, you know, it was just little things that I would say. And it's not about that. It's about the relationship. It's about being real. It's about showing people that God loves you right where you're at. Right where you're at. It's not about acting all pretty and getting all cleaned up.
But again, this is just about being aware of things in our lives so we can pray about them.
Yes.
So we can ask the Lord, invite him into our lives to help us. But it says that we should have reverent behavior or appointed for good conduct. It says we should not be slanderers. And that word used there is literally, it's diabolos, which is a word that is used for Satan. So he's saying, don't be like Satan, the accuser of the brethren. That's what he's saying.
Exactly.
Don't be talking about this and talking about that person and go over here. Did you know Pastor Tony, he said this over here, and he shouldn't have been saying that, and I just don't know what I'm going to do.
Right.
Well, you're going to shut up if you want to be like Christ. Amen. And then come talk to me.
Yes.
All right, come on. All right. But it's easier to be like the devil. Because being like Christ, you got to be bold and believe that God's going to work in you to will and do his good pleasure.
And that accusations when you're cutting people down and you're putting power behind those words, I mean, the enemy is just running wild with that. And that's so the world, you know, what's in the world. We need to be different. And the key thing, like you said, you know, it's not like you can't go to someone you trust and say, okay, I'm struggling here. I need advice. That's one thing. But if you're going on and bashing, that's wrong. But if you're saying, I need help, such and such, this happened. But always point people to the person they have an issue with.
Jesus said the kingdom divided against a kingdom will not stand. And when we get into accusations about other people, talking about other people, we are causing division, all right, whether it's family or church or friends or whatever. I mean, if you're at work, I guarantee you, at work, you know people talk about everybody. Well, don't get involved in it. You know, somebody talks, be polite and say, you know what, I really don't want to participate in that. And you say, well, but it's true. It doesn't matter if it's true. If you're not part of the solution, and the solution will be going to the person who's involved and then helping to take that to a higher authority if necessary. If you can't do that, then you need to keep your mouth shut. Period.
Yeah, gossip isn't just that.
Awful
it's all lies.
Yeah.
You know, gossip is you're talking about something you shouldn't be.
You're talking about something.
Even if it's true.
If your talk is not helping, then it's hurting. But he says, don't be a heavy drinker. Let me just say this. We should not be getting drunk. And if we get drunk, then we have a problem. We need help, and we want to help with that, all right? And I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on that, but it's one of those things. We live in a society where, you know, again, I'm not. If you want to have a glass of wine or whatever, that's fine. But, boy, if you're running to some, if you're having a glass of wine or something in celebration, maybe you like to have with your meal, but if you're running to that to get your peace, because your day was frustrated and you're not bringing God in and you're not praying and running to him and relying on him, you're probably in danger. You probably need to put that down and run to him, all right? It's having a glass of wine or something with a meal, it's not meant to be a crutch. It's meant to be something we celebrate with. And again, that's, you know, it's a personal decision, and we're not giving everybody the, somebody say, well, Pastor Tony said we can drink. Look, you're going to drink anyway.
Right.
If you want to. So it doesn't matter what I say, but we're not supposed to be a bunch of lushes. All right? That is not godly behavior. And if we're like that, then we need somebody to help us. And we want to help with that. There's no condemnation, but the only way we can get help is to open up to one another, invite the grace of God in, walk in forgiveness, pray for one another, and help each other to start to live a different life.
Yeah, be real about it. You know, we have Celebrate Recovery here on Thursday nights at 7, and then we have you know, relay groups throughout the week, get around other people, because we all have issues, we all have things we deal with, and we can help each other through. But the thing is, too, even not just wine, it can be something else. Maybe you're addicted to shopping or television or
cheese.
Who said coffee? No.
Coffee. Oh, you can't be addicted to coffee. Let's not talk about that.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Moving along. All right. So he says, don't be heavy drinking. Then he goes on, he says, we should be teachers of good things. Remember, this is talking to the general population, if you will, of the church. We should be teachers. Do you know that you and I, as Christians, listen carefully, as a Christian, you should be able to teach what you believe. You should be able to teach what you believe. I mean, maybe you can't find the exact location or the address in the Bible, but it's something that you've meditated. And, you know, you should work to finding it, because it helps if you want to show it to somebody else. But it's something that means something to you. That's what I'm excited about these roots again. Check them out. We got some coming up just about life scriptures to people. And you know, it's one of those things that can I master? Really, if you look at one translation puts it this way, that we should be mastering Christian living. Mastering Christian living. Listen, the Holy Spirit, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, and he is one who is a teacher who comes alongside and teaches us. The question is, am I enrolled in school? Or am I just tardy or plain out skipping out? Does that make sense to you? Again, we're not trying to put rules and regulations. God forbid that we would do that in the body of Christ. But if your relationship with God is not important enough for you to want to change by enrolling in his school, then your life is not going to bear fruit. I'm not saying you won't get to heaven. My goodness, you can't get to heaven. There's nothing you can do to get to heaven except believe in Jesus. But when you enlist in his school, what he does is he starts to teach you to bear fruit. And more than teach you, he starts to bear fruit in your life. Because you're just so caught up in him, you start to be like him. All right? I hope that makes sense to you, because we're trying to help. Listen to what it says here in James 1, 22. He says, be doers of the word. Somebody say Bible. All right. I didn't make this up. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving. You know that when you just hear the word and you don't allow God to do something, you're deceiving yourself? If anyone is a hearer of the word, he's not a doer. He's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man that he was. When we don't start to allow God to change us and expect our lives to look differently, we are fooling ourselves. We're looking in a mirror and we say, yep, I'm Christ. But then we walk away and we forget what we were redeemed for. And really what I'm preaching to more than anything, and what I believe the Bible is teaching us here, is that Christianity certainly is not about a bunch of works and rules and regulations. That is not what it is. But in Christ, you and I should be wanting to start to see fruit in our lives, not forgetting that he saved us for a higher purpose. Christ didn't save us just to get us into heaven. Christ saved us to bear fruit. Doing the word. And what does it mean to do the word? Here's what I believe, because James says do the word. Do the word means I'm confessing what the word says, and Jesus taught this. You see it all through the New Testament. Confessing what the word says about you, believing God that I am becoming that person. Believing that the Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, that I could be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, now all things become new. That's just a quick paraphrase. But that's what it says. So I look at that one scripture and I say, I thank you, Lord, that you're working in me and you're making all things new, that I'm your righteousness. And so today, Lord, I'm the righteousness of God. Everywhere that I go, I'm spreading your light. And that's doing the word, believing that, not just kind of rolling out of bed, drink a cup of coffee and get out and just live your life as if it was your own. Does that make sense to you? All right? And that is something that we need to realize that I call that radical obedience.
I used to tell the kids, partial obedience is not obedience, it's disobedience. I want to go back to yeah. something there. You're talking about, you know, reflecting your reflection in a mirror, and God's word needs to be what we're reflecting. And I've talked to many people, men, women, doesn't matter, who have struggled with self-image things. And a big thing, too, and I've been there, had some eating disorders in my past as well, and you get this wrong picture in your mind of what you think you are, what you look like, and you can be physically looking at yourself and not really seeing who you are. That is what deception is. It's like a funhouse mirror. I'm looking in, you know, it's not really how God made me or how God sees me, but I am looking through it, through this twisted, hurt mess that I am, and I've listened to these lies, and I've rehearsed these lies, and I'm reflecting what's on the inside, which is deception. It's a lie. So we have to just take that. We have to take the word of God. We have to speak it out, and I've told people even physically, get in front of a mirror and start speaking the truth. Start speaking to yourself, because that is, it's how the enemy works in a lot of different ways.
Yes, radical obedience. See, transformation doesn't just happen because I got saved. Am I living as an heir? Am I expecting Christ in my life? Or am I just fooling myself? See, you and I have got to be aware of who we are. James 1:6, he says this, that if we need wisdom, that we should ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. If you and I need wisdom on life, we need to ask God and then believe that he's going to teach us. Because if we don't believe, the Bible says we're double-minded or double-souled. Kind of mean, it'd be like this, like we're a split personality. If we ask God for wisdom and then don't believe that he gave it to us, we're living like a split personality. I believe that kingdom living, Christianity, is about persistent pursuit. Persistent pursuit. Again, I'm not trying to be a good person. I'm persistently pursuing the one who perfects life in me. All right? I'm persistently pursuing him. And if you and I would spend time just hanging out with the Lord, pursuing him, I mean, all day. It's an all-day thing, just pursuing him. Every little nook and cranny of time that we have, say, oh, Lord, oh, help me with this. Or I love you, Lord. Oh, that was awesome, Lord. Oh, man, this is hurting me, God. So, just pursuing him. What do you have to say about it? Give me some wisdom. Never letting up, never backing down. Living single-minded is living kingdom-minded. Living single-minded is living kingdom-minded. The Bible tells us that we have the mind of Christ once we've been born again. And so we're coming into agreement with what the Word says. Remember, obedience, what we're talking about, the obedience we're talking about is that we're seeing what the Word says, and then we're allowing God to bring us to that. That's who he says we are. I'm going to believe it, and he's working in me to do his pleasure. I want to leave you with one scripture here, maybe two, and then we'll have to go. Proverbs 9:9, look what it says here. He says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. What does it mean to have the fear of the Lord? It means to trust the Lord. It means to trust the Lord. So he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't trust God, you will not get the wisdom of God. I'm talking about God's wisdom, all right? The Bible says that the wisdom of the world is not the wisdom of God, that the things of this world are even foolishness compared to God's wisdom. When I know or trust God's love, I accept his wisdom, and he transforms my life. When I know that God loves me, when I know that he's got my back, I trust him, and he transforms my life. The question is, do I trust him with my transformation? Do I trust him with my future? Am I growing in the knowledge of my Savior? Because the only way we can grow as a Christian is to grow in our understanding and knowledge of the one who saved us and loves us and never quits on us. Look what it says, a couple more scriptures and we'll have to go. Ephesians 3:18. He says, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. The only way that we can be filled with the fullness of God and continue to grow in the wisdom of God is to continue to grow in God's love, drawing near Him, pursuing Him, not getting caught up in gossip, not getting caught up in accusation, not running for something else when we need relief, when we need peace. All these things we're talking about tonight, but trusting God that He is the one that is going to take care of me. Matter of fact, I'm going to close with this. I didn't have it in my notes, Will, but if you can look it up, I want to read out of the Message Bible. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, Message Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to read verses 5 through 9, because here's the thing. You and I, you've probably heard this said before, we cannot live the Christian life with sin consciousness. That's what grace is for. It takes care of that. But we're talking about growing in the grace of God, all right, if you will. And if you and I want to take care of sin consciousness, I believe, I love this translation here of this few verses, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9, Message Bible. Look what he says. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given. Isn't that good? Don't lose a minute on building. I mean, no, building takes some effort. It's just we're not working out our own righteousness. We're not working. We're pursuing God. Are you with me tonight, okay? I want to help you grow. God doesn't want us to stay immature all our lives as Christians. We need to grow, all right? He says, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, oh, I love that, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. Each dimension, remember, it's talking about the fullness of the love of God we read in Ephesians, but each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet, no day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without those qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. And so if we're not growing in our relationship with Christ, it's like Trish said, we're looking in a funhouse mirror. We're seeing ourselves distorted, or we're looking in a mirror, as James says, and we're walking away, and we're forgetting who we are, what Christ saved us for. And that's to grow in our relationship with Him. And so if you and I are going to live effective Christian lives, and we'll probably talk more about this Sunday, we're going to start a series on spiritual warfare. You're going to love it. See, getting saved is something God does for us, but as we grow in wisdom and knowledge and understanding and in His grace, and as we start to mature in Christianity, as we learn how to do spiritual warfare and we start to walk out, what ends up happening is you and I start to walk in the blessings of God. It's kind of like taking our spiritual inheritance. And God will not give an inheritance to those who refuse to grow. I hope that makes sense to you. And so we're trying to get you and I to be able to walk in the fullness of God. One last thing, I wrote this down and we'll end with this. The love of God is not something I experience only once. It's something that is constantly expanding and transforming me into the image of His Son. The love of God is not something I experience only once. It's something that is constantly expanding and transforming me into the image of His Son. And so Christianity is active. It's not passive. It's something that God is doing in us, working to will and do His good pleasure, giving us the power and the desire to do the things that please Him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the Word of God tonight. I thank You, Lord God, that it's growing in our lives. We surrender to You, Lord. We know it's not our works of righteousness, but we know that You're working in us, that You're producing fruit in our lives. And so we surrender to that. We say, Lord, prune us and teach us and grow us and love on us and show us what You have for us. And then we're trusting You to get us to that place because it's Your work in us that's bearing fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you if you've ever been to church. I'm asking you if you know that you're on your way to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. And it's not about going to church. It's about knowing that you're right with God and on your way to heaven. And if you're here tonight and you don't know that, I want to pray for you. Because you can know just by praying a prayer and saying, Jesus, I believe You're real. I believe that You came, that You lived a sinless life, and that You died, You rose again on the third day, and You ascended into heaven. And now you sit at God's right hand and you're preparing a place for me. It's really just about believing that. If you want to know that you're on your way to heaven tonight and you don't know that, on the count of three, let me see your hand. One, two, three. Quick, just put it up. Let me pray for you. We're all born. Everybody knows they're on their way to heaven. I see a hand over here. Thank you. Just leave your hand up for a moment. Keep your eyes closed, everyone bowed. I've got a friend that's going to bring a pamphlet of information over to you who raised your hand. And I'd like you to take that. We're going to pray here in a minute, but that tells you what it means to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. It's the greatest news ever. But take that home. If you'd fill out the card, I just want to pray for you. If you turn in that card, we're not going to share that with anybody. I want to pray for you by name. So everybody, just repeat after me with this gentleman that raised his hand. Let's pray, everybody. Say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe that you lived a sinless life, that you died for my sins, and on the third day, you rose for my justification. I put my trust in you, and I thank you that you prepared a place for me. I receive you as my Lord. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's celebrate tonight. That is good news. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Best thing you could ever do. I'm so proud of you. All right. Well, there's going to be some announcements come on the screens here. Check them out. Get involved in the life of the church. Check out the table for the church that's left the building. Get involved. Get involved. Get your invitations. Invite somebody to church on Easter Sunday. We love you. God bless you.